An introduction to the new church. An introduction to the new church is really an invitation to begin a great spiritual journey. It is an invitation to open our eyes to the spiritual challenges that await us along the sacred path. It is an invitation to open our ears to the Lord as He whispers words of divine guidance and inspiration along the way. It is an invitation similar to that which the Lord made to Abram in the 12th chapter of Genesis, saying, "Get out of your country, from your kindred, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing." An introduction to the new church is an invitation to begin a sacred journey from earthly life to spiritual life, from the house of our fathers to the house of God, from self-consciousness to cosmic consciousness, from the slavery of selfish concern to the freedom of unselfish love for others. It is the Lord's own invitation to each of us to take the journey of all journeys. The journey of spiritual growth is a rugged one. There will be times when we hunger and thirst for comfort and direction, times when we feel like giving up, and times when little glimpses of the promised land and tiny foretastes of heaven will be given to sustain us and renew our resolve to persevere. This grand journey, in essence, is one of becoming the magnificent person the Lord intends us to be. It is a journey in which we gradually discover and use the gifts our Lord has already blessed us with. It is a journey in which we allow the Lord to magnify our unique and special qualities. "I will bless you," He says. "I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing." As we begin this great spiritual journey, we need to know, above all, who God is and what He is really like in His inmost essence. After all, if we are made in His image, the discovery of God's true nature will shed important light on our own true nature and help us get a better focus on our ultimate goal. No physical journey can really begin until we have some clear idea of our final destination. Without some clear aim or goal, we wander aimlessly, never really getting anywhere. And sometimes we find that we are just spinning our wheels, getting more deeply entrenched and stuck in age-old ruts. So a clear and true idea of God helps us to set for ourselves a clear and true idea of the kind of person we hope to become. In the new church, then, the first and foremost teaching concerns the nature of God. Our source is the 18th century scientist, philosopher, and theologian, Emanuel Swedenborg, whose spiritual teachings have been embraced by the greatest souls of our time. In her spiritual autobiography describing her triumph over her triple handicap of blindness, deafness, and muteness, Helen Keller writes, "Emanuel Swedenborg is the greatest champion of Christianity in 20 centuries. When Swedenborg's message was revealed to me, it was as if light came where there had been no light before. Swedenborg's message seeps across the heart of humanity like some sweet breath from God's presence." Balzac, the great French novelist, writes that Swedenborg undoubtedly epitomized all the religions, or rather the one religion, of humanity. And Elizabeth Barrett Browning writes, "To my mind, the only light that has been shed on the other life is found in Swedenborg's philosophy." Swedenborg's own testimony is humbler. He attributes nothing to himself and does not lean on his own understanding. He writes, "I have now come into the condition where I know nothing. All preconceived notions are taken away from me, which is where learning first begins. Now, namely, first to be a child and thus be nursed into knowledge." End of quote. It is wonderful to contrast Swedenborg's humble description of his learning process to the praise showered on him by others. For example, Ralph Waldo Emerson calls Swedenborg a colossal soul not to be measured by whole colleges of ordinary scholars. End of quote. Swedenborg put things more simply. He writes, "It has pleased the Lord to manifest Himself to me and to send me to teach the things that will belong to the new church." End of quote. Among the many wonderful things taught in Swedenborg's 30 Latin volumes is the doctrine of the Lord. Swedenborg calls it the foremost and supreme teaching of the new church. In his last published work, which he called True Christian Religion, He states that a right idea of God is in the church like the sanctuary and altar in the temple, and like the crown on the head and scepter in the hand of a king. On this doctrine depends the whole body of theology, like a chain upon its first link. And if you will believe it, everyone has his place in heaven according to his idea of God. End of quote. Led by the Lord alone, Swedenborg gathered genuine truth from the letter of the word and showed forth the essence of God's nature. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. He compared the Lord's love for mankind to the sun, which shines on both the good and the evil. He compared the Lord's wisdom, which he yearns to give to all mankind, to the rain which falls on the just and the unjust. He pointed out that, as the sun continues to shine, the Lord's love is never withheld from anyone. Most importantly, Swedenborg revealed that the Trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is not a trinity of persons, but rather the most powerful way of describing the three primary attributes of the one God. The Almighty God of the universe, who is everywhere present at all times, clothed himself in a human nature and came forth to view as the Lord Jesus Christ. The infinite, invisible love of God, the Father, comes forth to view in Jesus Christ, who is God incarnate. This incarnation is by no means a separate God, even though he is called the Son. Similarly, the Holy Spirit is the experience of receiving the divine which proceeds from Jesus Christ, the living, visible, only God of heaven and earth. God is one, just as the heat, light, and radiant power of the sun are one. As David wrote in the 84th Psalm, "The Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory." This, in essence, is the teaching of the new church in regard to the nature of God. He is divine love and divine wisdom, filling the universe at all times, constantly present with every person, continually urging each of his children to receive the sunshine of his love, the light of his wisdom, and the radiant energy of his Holy Spirit. This is the Lord God who is with us every step of the journey. He will never forsake us or leave us comfortless. He will never turn away from us in anger, even for an instant. In fact, his love is so great that he cannot even show a stern face. Such an understanding of God gives us a lofty goal to aspire towards in our own lives. To love others as he loves us. To forgive as he forgives. To be there for others as he is there for us. These are indeed sublime goals, and we may feel that we are far from achieving them. But each day we can make a little progress. At least we will not be spinning our wheels in the same old rut or wandering aimlessly about in a wilderness of worldly ambitions. This loftier view of God's nature not only helps clarify our spiritual goals, but it also leads us into a deeper, fuller understanding of sacred scripture. No longer can we be satisfied with the harsh appearances on the surface of the Old Testament, the descriptions of an angry God to be feared, nor can we be satisfied with the traditional Christian view wherein the Father sends his Son to earth to make sacrificial atonement for the human race. The teachings of the new church set us free to understand the Word more deeply at a level consistent with our grandest concept of a loving God. The new church teaches that the whole word is a divine parable written in accommodation to the limited understanding of man, but containing infinite and inexhaustible levels of truth. The language of parable was once intuitively grasped by man, for he lived in close connection with God and nature. He saw in everything of nature something that corresponded to the world of spirit. In the loftiness and power of a mountain, he felt the grandeur of God. In the flight of an eagle, he felt the elevation and uplift of a new thought arising in his consciousness. In the warmth of the sun, he felt the Lord's love. In the innocence of a lamb, he felt his own relation to the Lord as his shepherd. But over the course of time, this ability to see something of the Lord and his kingdom in all things was lost. As man began to think more about himself and less about God, A part of his mind was lulled to sleep and locked away in some dark, forgotten room. He no longer understood the language of parable, and consequently the Word of God became for him a dead letter, a body without a soul, a scroll sealed with 7 seals. Today, the key to unlock that room and awaken the part of the mind that has been slumbering so long has been found. The writings of the new church open the way for us to once again understand the language of parable. They teach again the divinely ordained correspondence between all things of nature and all things of spirit, and they make it possible for all people to go to the Word for themselves. When we do this, and when we pray to the Lord for enlightenment, the harshness of the letter melts away, and those same stories, seen from the inside out, become wonderful testimonies of God's unceasing love and wisdom. Even more than testimonies, these sacred scriptures become channels for God's inmost presence with us. Once again, we can read the scriptures and receive the living message He intends. Through His Word, God can speak to us clearly and fill us with the breath of life. A proper understanding of God and a proper understanding of His Word are indispensable to us as we begin the sacred journey from our Father's house to the house of God. The journey is the story of our lives, not the outward story, but the inner choices and struggles that go on continually in our souls. Every loving and wise decision we make takes us one step closer to our destination, one step closer to the presence of God and the experience of heaven in our lives. At times, it may feel that we are lost in a vast wilderness, but as long as we keep our goal in mind, the Lord will lead us onward to the promised land. Angels will be our guides, and the Word of God, spiritually understood, will be our map. "I will not leave you comfortless," says the Lord. "I will come to you." In revealing to us His true nature and in opening up the internal meaning of His Word, the Lord has come to us again. He has come as the Spirit of truth to guide us into all truth. He invites us to take a wonderful journey to a land that He will show us. Along the way, He will reveal to us our true nature and bless us, and we shall be a blessing. Amen.